T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
This is going to be a lot of fun. It's true. It's not an easy task. Anything and everything's possible. And we're going to go into it with that thought. It's one at a time, and we'll make the best. We got Kyle tomorrow, correct? And that he's a good leadoff hitter for the series.
Middays on the Score.
Jed Hoyer joins us now on Bernstein and McKnight. He's on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Alpamonte Ford, over 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. This is the general manager of the Cubs, presented by the Magellan Corporation. Jed, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Good. Wonderful. What's at stake right now? Here we go. This is it. What are we playing for?
I mean, listen, I think that you make the playoffs in baseball, and anything can happen. So I think we've seen that, you know, plenty of times in the past. And so I think that's what's at stake. You know, we want a chance to beat a team that gets hot in October. And, you know, we're tied for that right now. We're 3 games behind the Cardinals. And, you know, we have 10 games with 7 head-to-head against the Cardinals to try to do that. So I think that's what's at stake. You know, we've made the playoffs 4 years in a row. We want to make it 5, and we want to give us that opportunity to get hot.
Jed, I was reading that because of injuries and some of the stresses that have gone on, some of the guys to fill in, Joe's kind of abandoned the lineups coming in 3 days beforehand. Makes a lot of sense. You got to play with the guys that are healthy. Does that give an extra, jolt to guys knowing that, you know, a procedure that has been held for most of the season is now gone because these are as meaningful as you say they are?
Yeah, I don't think it jolts anyone. I think this time of year, I think everyone knows that everyone that can be available has to be available. People push themselves in different ways when you get down to the end of the season, down to the last 10 games. So I don't think it causes any alarm. I think that this is what players expect. It's what they play for. And so, yeah, I think guys know we're going to mix and match the lineup the day before. And yeah, because of some of the guys being banged up a little bit, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Do you think that the rampant speculation about Joe Maddon's future has in any way affected players?
No, not at all. Not at all. I think that in general, I think that the team, Joe himself, the coaching staff, I think they do a good job, compartmentalizing all those things. And, you know, I look at it every year. There's a number of players in contract years or a number of players with uncertain futures. I think players, are far more worried about that than anything else, as far as worrying about themselves and their own situation. And that said, they do an incredible job, I think, of focusing on the task at hand. You know, I think that it's not easy to go to work every day as a player with some uncertainty. And every year there's some guys like that. And they put it out of their mind. They block it out and they play for the Cubs. And then they know that, the off season will sort of determine some of those things. So I think players do a wonderful job of blocking out distractions because they're sort of practicing that sort of by the nature of the game.
Does it become a different task though, or a little bit, does it feel somewhat different when it comes with the legacy attached to Joe Maddon, the way you guys have all kind of created that legacy together, winning a World Series in 2016?
I think that might matter to, to us. I think we obviously, want to, continue to have that run of playoff appearances and that sustained success. I think it matters to, people that have been here for the whole time. But I feel like that's the kind of thing you look back on, 10, 15 years from now. I don't think anyone really cares. I think it's about making the playoffs so we can get that chance to be the hot team in October. I just don't think things like legacies or things like playoff streaks or things like that, I don't think that's relevant to anyone in the clubhouse at this point. Like I said, those are things that people talk about, much down the road when the whole book has been written. Mm-hmm. I think right now we're trying to write it.
From the outside, people have observed that, well, if Madden's performance this year, the team's performance, and therefore the job that he does is part of the evaluation in the decision for the future. Is that true? Is there anything that's going on that he has done this year or is doing right now that could change his stars?
Yeah, I mean, I think all year we've said that, you know, we're not going to comment on his you know, his job. We're going to talk about this at the end of the season, and it's the same thing. And I'd say that, you know, for all of us, I think that I think you're always looking at the total body of work, and I think you're always looking at what's happened, you know, most recently. But I think that's for everyone. I mean, I think that you're talking about players that way, you're talking about coaching staff that way, and you're talking about front office staff that way. So, no, I mean, I think that I think everyone is evaluated based on what most recently happened in the context of a larger career. I think that's sort of the way everyone gets thought of and evaluated at all times.
Before we move on to other things, Bob Nightingale of USA Today put out a story today. It says the Cubs have been preparing David Ross, who helped lead them to the 2016 World Series championship, to be the heir apparent for the managerial job. He goes on to say the biggest surprise in Chicago will be if David Ross is not named the manager by Thanksgiving. So he put a name, he put a timeline on it. Is he right?
I mean, that's something, of course, I'm never going to comment on. I just said that we've not talked about, you know, that topic the entire year. We're going to talk about it at the end of the year. If you guys want to have Bob Nightingale on to talk about it, you guys can certainly do that. But asking me that question with 10 games left, I mean, of course I'm not going to give that any credence.
I understand that. Had to ask it nonetheless. So shall we figure out now when you're looking at these games against the Cardinals, down a couple of stars, you know, down to guys and finding a star in Nicholas Castellanos, how involved are you in talking about the way these lineups are constructed now?
Very little, to be honest with you. You know, we have a process that we use all year to sort of give Joe and the coaching staff recommendations on who should play. I think that process is excellent, and we're not gonna you know, shy away from that. I think this time of year, you sort of get away from the idea of resting guys to a certain extent, everyday players, that is. So some of that might be taken out of it, that factor may be taken out. But otherwise, I don't see any reason to change a process that we think has been effective. I think we'll play the best, you know, the best hand, the best matchups that we can. And hopefully we'll step up. I know our guys are they're always excited to play against the Cardinals. I mean, we usually perform well, and hopefully these seven games are no different.
Things on the right track for Kimbrel and Kintzler here in the next few?
Hopefully, yeah. I think that we have to check in with Kimbrel today, but he may be active over the course of the weekend. Obviously, he's been out, and he threw a sim game. You know, I think he really wants to get back and help the team. So hopefully he can be active. And then, you know, with Kintzler, he threw a bullpen session yesterday. We'll see how he comes through it from a soreness standpoint today. But obviously we'd love to get him back as well.
Fair to assume that Kimbrel gets the ninth when he does come back? I mean, you guys have mixed and matched and been pretty successful with the bullpen while he's been out.
Yeah, unclear. I think that'll be a decision with – we'll talk about with Joe and with Tommy Hotovy. I mean, he's, I think, you know, when he's right and when he's pitching well, obviously he has the ninth inning. But I think we'll have to talk through how we do it, given the fact that it's, you know, he's coming back with only sort of one sim game to go. So we'll see how he feels and how he looks, and, we'll make that decision. But, certainly the healthy right version of Craig Kimbrel can help us immensely.
Anything further on the recovery of Anthony Rizzo and whether or not there could even be some sort of like emergency Kirk Gibson availability?
His Willis Reed impression.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be great. I mean, he's doing well. I know that he wants to be able to do that. I know Javi is in the same boat. But I guess I would say I feel like expecting these guys to kind of ride in on a white horse and save us is the wrong way to look at it. You know, if those guys can be really tough and play through some pain and do it, they may try to do it. But we have to assume that those guys aren't going to be at full strength or aren't, you know, may not be able to help us this year. And that's, that is what it is. I mean, we cannot complain about injuries. We are not tied for a wild card berth because of injuries in any way. I mean, they happen. You know, the Brewers lost Yelich for the year. They lost Hira. They lost Woodruff for long periods. I think we actually have been fairly healthy at large parts of the year, and we hadn't been able to pull away. So I think anyone using Javi and Riz being out as a crutch or an excuse or a reason that we are where we are, I totally disregard that. I think that, you know, we still can absolutely win and be really successful without them. But I think that, we are where we are right now, based on how we played over the course of, 152 games. And now we have to, move on without them.
One of the guys really helping over the last little bit and kind of on a white horse some since August 1st has been Kyle Schwarber. He's got a 1,000 OPS. He's got 13 homers since August 1. I was wondering if there are any different, because we've seen Kyle get hot before, but, with this season kind of mostly in the rearview mirror here, is there anything different that you guys have noticed about this last 2 months? Are there markers that change some with as much as he's worked to be a more consistent hitter in terms of bat on ball?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we've talked about this a lot with Kyle. I think whenever his sort of focus and his best swings are to left center field, I think that's when he is at his most successful. You've seen so many of those great swings over the last 2 months. I'm really excited for him. I think that he is really, over the last 2 months, shown, the kind of offensive force that he can be. Great at bat in big spots. He's just a tough out all the time right now. And I think that's probably the biggest thing I look for with him is, when he's using that off gap, he is unbelievably dangerous. And he's been doing that really consistently. So hopefully he can continue. And, we need his bat these next 10 games. We're, facing a lot of right-hand pitching. And hopefully he can continue that run.
And we need him to not go wandering off the bases either, because this is something that unfortunately has afflicted the Cubs all year. Outs on the base paths will take years off the lives of baseball executives and managers. Is there any common denominator? Is there anything about trying to do something more, or is it a lapse in concentration? Why have there been too many of those this year?
I don't know. I mean, it's I feel like whenever people start speculating on being too loose or being too tight or trying to make things happen, I mean, I think those are just, that's kind of random speculation that we don't know anything about. And it doesn't really matter, like whether you're making errors because you're too tight or too loose, or whether you're making outs on the bases because you're too tight or too loose or trying too hard. It doesn't matter. An out is an out. And I think that that's been a huge problem for us. I think that, one of the things we've really struggled in the second half is sort of the, I call them like the 50-50 games, the one or two run games. We've really struggled in those games. And I think sometimes there's a tendency to blame the bullpen when you lose that kind of game, because normally it means that the bullpen gave up a run late. But, you think about it, like a one or two run game gets there for a variety of reasons. And if you're making, two outs a night on the bases and making a couple errors, that sloppiness, takes away opportunities offensively. It gives them more opportunities on offense when you make errors. And I think that, part of our struggle in those close games is that we have not been a clean team. We've been sloppy, and the base running is a part of that.
You had a change in the front office, and a relatively significant one, just last week with Jason McLeod being moved, a move that Theo described as a lateral move to senior vice president of player personnel. And it does look like there are going to be some changes on the scouting, drafting, development side of the organization. When you sat down with us in Arizona during spring training, you talked about the analytics, the cameras, the imaging, and everything that's going on with engineering pitches and engineering swings, and how you said over the last 2 years you've seen the game change more acceleratedly than ever. How much of that is informing some of these moves, and how large scale are you and Theo looking at that side of things and how to add new eyes and new ideas?
Well, I think when it comes to Jason, I think we saw this as a win-win. Jason's been doing, scouting and player development at a exceptionally high level for 20 plus years. He does a fantastic job. I mean, I think that, huge parts of our teams that, won the division, won World Series are built on guys that came to our farm system and that he drafted, and we're forever grateful for that. But he's done that for a long time, and we felt like Jason's gotten a number of GM opportunities and GM consideration, and we felt like sort of the one last thing on his resume that he could add was being closer to the major league team and making some of the doing some high level negotiating, working on trades at the major league level, which are things he hasn't been able to be as involved in because of his involvement in scouting and player development. So for him, I think it helps him add a new thing on his resume, and for us, I think it's helpful because it gives us new perspective. I think that we Theo and I have been doing this with the same people for a long time, and having Jason come in and add a new perspective and a great scouting perspective, I think is valuable. So, from that standpoint, I think it's a really big win-win. As far as the changes in player development and scouting, we've been together and we've been here for 8 years, and 8 years is a long time when it comes to, technology, when it comes to innovation. And so we felt like it was sort of the right time to make that move. We certainly, our goal, I guess, to answer your question, is to be the forefront of all the things that are happening in scouting and player development. We've certainly invested a lot of time and money and personnel to do that. And certainly as we make these changes, I think that'll be something that we're really focused on, is that, the goal is to have, an outstanding, top of the, top of the shelf scouting and player development team. And I think that, like I said, after 8 years together, it sort of felt like a time for some new ideas and some change. That's not a knock on anyone. Those guys built a great farm system and some great teams through that. But 8 years is a long time, and it seems like the right move at this moment.
I would imagine some of that change that you guys have already undergone is part of the process that has gotten you Wick and Ryan in the bullpen, a bullpen that's had the second or best ERA in the second half this season. Are there commonalities between those pitchers that make them the guys that came out of Pitch Lab as successful as they've been?
It's a good question. And as far as they're very different pitchers, each one of those three guys that you mentioned, they're very different. But I think in each case, I think there was aspects of what these guys did that our scouts and our R&D staff did a fantastic job of identifying changes that we were able to implement with the help of some technology, and really receptive players. I mean, I think that it takes a lot for a player to go through those kind of adjustments, whether it's a new pitch grip or whether it's a slightly different mechanical change or something different from their norm, especially some of these guys that have done these in season. That's hard. And I think all three guys it's a testament to their character that they were willing to do it. And I think our scouts and our R&D department deserves huge kudos for all three of those guys. They've really saved us in the bullpen this year when we've had some injuries. They've stepped up, and all three of those guys are guys we count on late in the game now.
One of the themes this season, maybe the theme ever since the end of last year, has been the balance of urgency, the desire for urgency, the so-called circled games on the schedule, the October starts in March, that Theo said, with the Joe Maddon sensibility of never letting the pressure exceed the pleasure. And we're seeing the two kind of battle it out right now, and it's coming to a head today, this afternoon, this evening at the ballpark. What in your mind right now is the proper balance of pleasure and pressure for these experienced professional baseball players?
I think when you're tied with 10 games left, I think that it's pressure. It has to be. We have 10 games to decide if we make the postseason or not. And if you don't make the postseason, you don't have a chance to win the World Series. So, for me, this is about pressure. It's about urgency. And certainly, I think our guys know that. Obviously, every single game is crucial, and no game can be, there's no game that can be taken lightly. So, yeah, I think at this point, it's about, having, heightened focus and hopefully playing our best baseball. I mean, I think when you look at our season, we can probably, pull interviews from every single month on this show, and at some point, either Theo or I have said the exact same thing, which is this team has been unable to get hot, unable to sustain a really good run. The Cardinals have done it. The Brewers have done it. The Nationals have done it. And we haven't been able to do it. We haven't been able to have an extended string of good performance. And even this last 10 days or 2 weeks is a good example. You know, you struggle we struggled in Milwaukee, went to San Diego, dropped a couple games, and then we come home and play well and win five in a row. And then we dropped the last two games, the last couple of nights. So we haven't been able to sustain that success. And if we continue to do that, then we are going to fall short. You know, at some point we're going to have to sustain good game after good game and be able to click off a bunch of wins. And hopefully we do that. But that really, I think, has been probably the biggest frustration, is just that inability to get hot and that inability to have that extended period of winning longer than four or five games.
Jed, thank you very much.
Thanks,
for your
Jed.
Time. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
That is Jed Hoyer, the general manager of the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, I mean.
That's right
they,
there.
They got to click off a couple of games, and there is pressure now.
And there's still time to get hot. Now would be a really nice time for it to finally happen
well,
for a team.
Yeah, three out of four against the Cardinals are probably what's necessary to get you back into a realistic conversation for the division. And make no mistake, I mean, just listen, there's a wild card there for you if you want it. I don't want that one game. I want five. I want nothing to do with a wild card game, and everybody saw it last season when they had to play essentially two wild card games.
There was a lot in there. 312-644-6767. A lot to chew on regarding the state of this particular Chicago Cubs team, sort of where they are also in the larger picture.
Feel free. Want to know what you think. 312-644-6767. Jed Hoyer gave you a lot as we get closer and closer to Cubs at Cardinals over the weekend. All those games, of course, right here on 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Don't miss your chance to watch Big Ten football at Ryan Field this fall as the Big Ten West champion Northwestern Wildcats, led by Big Ten Coach of the Year Pat Fitzgerald, host Michigan State Saturday at 11 a.m. Tickets on sale now at nusports.com. So what I got out of that a little bit was I love the stuff about its pressure, and that's very, very clear, that it's no more having fun, two out of three ain't bad, you need them all. And they put themselves in this position by playing kind of a loose brand of baseball with a very small margin for error. You know, he said it. You know, guys kick the ball around and erase themselves from the base paths. And those, what he called the 50-50 games, the margin for error isn't there. That's why they are where they are. And it's time to stop doing it. It's past time to stop doing that. Also, regarding the question about Joe Maddon's performance this year or at this time, and he said it's the whole body of work.
Mm-hmm.
However, comma, this is part of the body of work.
It is. I think when we're evaluating the body of work then, and listen, I'm one of the guys that wouldn't see a whole lot wrong, or at least you could do a whole lot worse than having Joe Maddon come manage your 2020 team. Your 2021 team. You know, tie him up with everybody else, Javi Baez and Chris Bryant in the front office, and just, you could do a lot worse. But when evaluating the body of work, you also have to take it, Theo said he's a fan of the theory of relativity. Take that body of work and compare it to the rest of baseball. Make sure that Joe's processes and his evaluations and his schemes and ideas and philosophies match up with the modern game. And if it doesn't, and a lot of people, many, have looked at the way the Cubs have evaluated both prospects and pitching, kind of independently too, not just their prospects that are pitchers, but pitchers in and around the big leagues that they've tried to bring in, and kind of revamp some. They've got great success stories in Kyle Ryan and Brad Wick and Rowan Wick, but you would like to have seen some other success stories pop up, and you would like to have seen some of the other prospects kind of turn out the way that those guys have come off the scrap heap to turn up. Make sure that your processes match with the rest of the relative ones in Major League Baseball. And if they don't, You have to ask whether those are some of the things holding you back.
You can't take out of this discussion the flop that was the expenditure on Tyler Chatwood. They may have recouped some value this year. Like I say, he was terrific last night.
Yeah, you got a pretty decent $13 million swingman. That's very expensive for a decent $13 million swingman.
Yeah, the fact that he arrived and was that bad when he arrived and got even worse and was historically bad, that can't happen. Like, that at least has to be taken off the table, let alone turning lead into gold elsewhere like the Astros have done.
Right.
Where they take somebody else's garbage and they just make it into an asset.
The chance you took on Brandon Morrow, knowing that you didn't have, you know what I mean? Like, your backup plans, the backstop to Brandon Morrow being injured, which is something that a lot of people figured might happen given the workload he'd had the year before with the Dodgers.
And the injury history.
Yeah, that's, I mean, what does your backstop look like? What does removing Brandon Morrow from the bullpen look like? Well, these guys weren't there when that happened.
How about what happened to Carl Edwards Jr.? What happened to a hard-throwing, rubber-armed righty who was developing closer-type stuff and then became bad, and you had to get rid of him?
At some point, with all these, some of it is going to be on the player, too. You know, I mean, there has to be a willingness and a receptivity. I don't know. I think a lot of people would just take development and assume that in a vacuum, regardless of who you put in a pitch lab, you're supposed to get the top end projection out of that player. That's not always the case.
No, but you can't get Tyler Chatwood bottom end. You can't get Carl Edwards Jr. bottom end. I'm not assuming and holding them to a top end and everybody's standard. I'm saying those things, those kind of flops can't happen. In whatever your developmental process is, whatever your engineering is.
I think you can add Daniel Descalso around the margins, too, when that was really the only move you could make offensively.
Alexandria, Virginia, this is Ted. He's on Bernstein and McKnight on the Score.
You guys, we hold Theo in such high esteem, and he's made a ton of bad moves in the last 3 years. And I think a lot of that is just the player's approach at the plate. Like, they're not taking walks. They're not using the opposite field. And when they do those things, they're fantastic. And when they don't, they look terrible, and I think that's part of the team that Theo assembled. I don't think Jed adds anything. He's probably just Theo's yes man. I'd be okay with getting rid of Jed. If you want a reckoning, that's your reckoning. Yesterday probably was one of those days on the calendar that they circled at the beginning of the year, and look what that did. I mean, what a great idea that was. Let's circle a date on the calendar and make a win out of it. The players are stupid. They have terrible approach to the plate. They run the bases poorly. They make terrible errors. It's extremely frustrating.
Hey, Ted?
Yeah.
The Cubs are seventh in walk rate in baseball.
Well, they should be first. Have you watched the games? They swing at terrible pitches constantly. And the pitchers, throw a strike. Come out of the bullpen and throw a strike. I'm sick of seeing C-Sheck go 3-2 on every single hitter. Bases get loaded, 3-2. Everybody's running. The guy gets a hit. Three runs are going to score because he can't throw a strike on 1-2. Seriously. No, I mean, it's extremely frustrating watching these guys. We know they're talented, and they need to come through at some point and get their heads out of their butts.
And their butts out of their heads. You got your chocolate and my peanut
and
butter.
And I want their butts out of their butts,
you
too.
You got your
it's
peanut
too much.
Butter and my chocolate.
They've got their butts everywhere, and it shouldn't be in places.
Their butts are on their heads, and their heads are on their butts.
Stop
no
it.
Wonder they
locate
are they
the
are.
Butt in the right place.
Where's your butt? Where's your head? I don't
Good
know.
Lord.
Everything looks the same.
I think it's been October since March for him.
Yeah, I think it has. Jay, I think we were sitting
urgency.
In front of that guy
no,
in the game last night.
That's what urgency sounds like right there. That's pressure.
This is what Cubs baseball is doing to people this year.
It really is.
I told Grody on the train home last night, I just had to take a break before whatever the playoffs will be. If it's one game, no games, whatever.
It's now. These are the playoffs.
I need a mental break. I can't. And I thought that this torture was gone when Mike Montgomery was dealt. But then, like he said, Steve Cishek just took over.
That's true.
1-0, 2-0, 1-1, 1, you know, it's
foul,
like foul, ball,
foul,
foul ball, foul,
foul
ball, ball three. Oh, my God.
Jay, it's okay. You can't do it because they can't either.
I talk about rage quitting all the time.
Of course.
And it's hard because I always have the last button or the return. What's a button on the DirecTV remote that flips to the most recent channel?
I don't know. I stream.
And, we can't afford DirecTV.
Yeah,
I've got a chronic case of poor.
But I always get that. I get like this, and I push that button hard, but there's like a delay on DirecTV. So even after you push the button, you don't get the satisfying immediate flip of the channel.
Change!
Right? Get this off my screen now! At least we won't have that WCIU disaster. Did that game, by the way?
I was stuck on the Espen broadcast watching David Ross.
Yeah, I don't find, with the whole marquee thing, at least you're not going to have. However, they tried to switch it over. I'm watching Mike and Molly getting ready for the Cubs game to come on, and the Cubs game didn't come on. It's a cooking
Seems like
show.
A weird character arc from Mike and Molly. It was ready for the Cubs game.
No, there was this. And there's this chef on there. It was like, "Where's the Cubs? Where's the Cubs game?" And the chef, "Today we're going to talk about how to cook with children. They're cooking children." And then it flips to the Cubs game.
You have to be properly seasoned,
right? There's the Cubs game, and I'm hearing Len, and Len is talking. I'm like, okay, it's fine. They're good. And then it flipped back to the creepy chef. Out of nowhere, it was like the SCTV sketch when the Russians hijack the feed, and I didn't know what the hell was going on, and everything ended up being fine. But unfortunately,
everything ended up being fine. Oh, okay, good. So it was all for nothing.
No, but it was just really frustrating. And watching Cubs baseball, I'm with Ted. It's been a tough year.
Cubs hitters are seventh in baseball in walk percentage.
But it doesn't feel like that.
No, it doesn't. And that probably have to do with them being top 10 in a bad way in strikeout percentage. And in terms of, you know, their starting pitching, you know, they're a top 10 wins above replacement starting staff. It doesn't feel like that over the last 4 weeks because you've had three guys fall off a cliff. And then the other one guy is just kind of shaky when he goes out there. And then there's Yu Darvish. I get it. I get that it doesn't feel. And this is kind of the point of it. It doesn't feel like the Cubs are the sum of their parts. If you took some of the stuff that's on the page, you haven't seen it, not in a consistent basis, and that's what Jed told us today.
There was a funny moment last night in baseball where something unfortunate happened, and but the commentary was just delightful. So I want you to hear that when we come back. Bernstein and McKnight heading up to transition with Lawrence Holmes on the Score.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Saw that four-hit game number for Tim. Throw to first, and Garcia might have hurt himself on his way back to first base.
Well, I think the tag got him, actually.
He got whacked on a tag?
I think he was tagged south of the border. We'll have to take another look. And, that'll curtail play for a bit.
He got nipped by the turtle.
Astudillo, yes, that is his nickname.
La Tortuga, they call him.
You got to be careful. He's liable to tag you anywhere.
The good news is, Leary's got a smile on his face, so that means he's okay.
Well, he always does.
Well, that's true. Yeah. But if there's a moment when he might not, that could be on the list.
He got nipped by the turtle.
Nipped by the turtle. And
that's terrific.
Well, but it brings up something else.
Well, yes, of course it does.
This one I call the turtle.
I think my favorite part, obviously, Stoney saying he got tagged south of the border is fantastic.
They don't want to get
but
tagged south
in
of the
there,
border.
Like when they go to the replay, you hear the big whoosh, and then all you hear is Benetti go, "Oh,
oh yeah, okay,
yep, oh,
there it is."
Saw that. There it is.
Thanks to Matt Miller, Anthony Herron, and Jed Hoyer for joining us today. Jay Zawoski, Rick Camp, Ray Diaz, the producers, Brian Gertsch will soon, we believe, have his precious video feed.
Yep, you got to be careful. He's liable to tag you anywhere.
Tomorrow, Hub Arkish belongs to you at 10 o'clock. He's going to take calls for a couple of segments.
Beautiful.
Len Casper is going to join us to go over game one of this do-or-die Cardinals affair. Pete Futak also on the weekend in college football, and it says here on my screen, maybe a surprise.
Oh, a surprise?
Yeah, who knows?
Well, that's
anything could be headed your direction. We know Lawrence Holmes is up next, so keep it here on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.